Let's get into our lesson tonight then. Let's see, where are we at Sunday night? So we're talking about this idea, avoiding confusion, and this the existence of God, and how society is obviously trying to deny the existence of God. We see, of course, in our country a decline even in religious affiliation and things. We talked a little bit about this. 1/3 of those 35 and younger report no religious affiliation, don't want to have anything to do with religion. And 1 in 4 unchurched adults, they're skeptics, either atheist, agnostic. And so atheism, Gnosticism is definitely on the rise. And we were looking at this idea about the existence of God and how we know that God is real, and belief systems, whether that is the belief in God or a belief against God, they are not inherited. You don't inherit a belief system. They're chosen. People have to choose what they believe. They choose whether they believe in God. They choose whether not to believe in God. And again, we talked about why it's so important for parents to teach their children to love God at a young age so that they can make that decision to believe in God and to follow God, right? So as we're continuing here, go to Romans chapter 1, because in Romans chapter 1, we find that God has revealed himself to everyone, right? He's given each of us a choice either to believe or to reject that revelation. We saw this a little bit last week in both in the morning service in John chapter 1, where it says, "That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." And so God gives that light to every man that there is a God. There is a God. No one is born without the knowledge of God. We find that here in Romans chapter 1, verse number 19. He says, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them." Right? So we're looking at this idea of this, how God has revealed himself to man. And really today we're going to kind of look at basically this inner revelation. How has God revealed himself to man and what that means? Because again, God wants, the one thing we have to remember is when God created Adam and Eve were created to be with God, right? God wanted us to be with him, but it was man's disobedience, it was Adam and Eve's disobedience that separated us from God, that death that took place. And please, I hope one thing you always remember, especially when the Bible speaks of death, the word death simply means separation. It's a separation. When Adam and Eve died, they were separated from God. They died that day, a spiritual separation from God. When a person's body dies, they don't cease to exist. It's simply a separation. Their spirit and the soul are separated from their body now. Okay, and again, sometimes we use the world's terms or ideas of death, meaning it's over. It's not over, right? Death is not the end, okay? And I know, you know, a lot of times people use that idea, well, they've died, and so, you know, we miss them. No, they're alive, right? They're alive somewhere, okay? And so we have to make sure we understand that. But there is an inner revelation that God reveals to man really in two ways. And the first way is this innate truth that God has placed in every person that there is a God. There is a knowledge of God that is part of our very nature. It's part of who we are. It's something that we intrinsically know. It's something that is evident to us without being told. And this is why God says in verse number 20 that they are without excuse. There's no one that can stand before God and say, well, I didn't know that there was a God. God says he has placed that within every person. That inner revelation, God says, that inner knowledge that there is a God. He has given that light as John says, to every person, everyone. Okay? And that's why he says here, but that which may be known of God is manifest in them, because God hath showed it unto them. So God built into man the knowledge of the existence of himself, and there is something within man that knows that there is a God. What is it? And think with me a little bit about this. What really is it in man that, I don't know if I could say that cries out that there is a God, but really helps us to understand that there is a God? And even though we may not know who that God is, it tells us that there is a God. Can think with me a minute. What is that? What is it that is within us that helps us to know that there is a God? Conscience? Okay. Anybody else? What's that? Your soul? Okay. What's that? Your spirit? Okay. So what do you mean by soul and what do you mean by spirit? Explain a little bit. What do you mean by that? Yeah, you want a microphone? I'll get you one. No.
Who said spirit?
No, you said soul first. So what do you mean? What would you mean when you say our soul is what is crying out that there's a God? Okay. Morality. Okay. Which is true. Morality can, when there is the sense of right and wrong, it helps us to know that there is something that is dictating that right and wrong. Right? Why would you say spirit?
Well, I think it's kind of, they're all, I mean, we're connected. Like, for a chance, when you get baptized, you see you're empowered with the Son and the Holy Spirit. So I think everything's kind of a connection. So it also goes, but like I said, but conscious of point, both right and wrong, good Lord, if you ask for the wisdom,
okay. I think we're jumping over something though, because you're talking about something that you're being taught, right? You're talking about kind of the same thing, that morality being taught things, but how does someone that hasn't even been taught, because again, God is saying, it doesn't come through teaching. This is something that is in from the inside. This is the inner revelation that there is a God, right? Because again, you don't have to be taught these things, because again, if that is true, if you have to be taught that there is a God, then we have an excuse, right? There's an excuse. If I have to be taught that there is a God, then I can say, well, no one taught me. So there's something else that is there, again, because he says from the moment that that person is born, now obviously we understand a baby doesn't have that understanding of things, but there is a knowledge as that child grows, that inner knowledge that there is a God. What is it that cries out that there is a God? Leslie?
And feelings, you know, maybe in other countries, you know, you talk about how, you know, tribes are trying to fill it with other gods. They're worshiping the earth, or there's this void that people are trying to fill.
Okay, we're getting closer. Rob?
Conscience.
Conscience? Like our conscience?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Glenn?
There's a longing in your heart, you know, sense of this.
Okay. Okay, right. Right. There's that there's a longing, there's the guilt, there's a void. We're hitting around it, Anita.
We're created in his image, and so somehow, I mean, we don't create ourselves in his image, so we have a complete understanding of that as a little person.
Okay, all right. We're hitting around it. Okay, yes. There's something else, though. And think about it. Remember what happened in the garden? Adam and Eve sinned, right? And Adam and Eve made clothes for themselves. They hid themselves from God. God calls out to them. Adam says, "We hid ourselves. We were afraid." And God asked them a question. What's the question God asked them? What? Who told you you were naked? Who told them they were naked? Nobody did. Nobody told them they were naked. Something happened. What happened? What is it that when a person is born and as they grow, they understand there is a void, there's something missing, there's a longing for something. What is that? It is because our spirit is dead. Yes, we are created in the image of God, body, soul, and spirit. But when Adam and Eve died that day, it wasn't physical, it was spiritual. And when they died, their spirit died, and they recognized, hey, there is something missing. We've done something wrong, and we're going to try to hide ourselves from God. Nobody told them they were naked. They recognized it because of their separation from God now. They were dead spiritually. And when we are born, that's why every person that is born is dead spiritually. Now, again, please understand, I know and I believe that the Bible teaches that there is a special grace for children, for babies and children that do not reach the age of understanding and accountability. I believe that with all of my heart, and I believe the Bible teaches that. That's not what we're talking about right now. We're talking about when someone reaches that age of understanding and they recognize there is a void, they recognize there's something missing. It is the spirit that is dead because they're not whole. They're not complete. They're not the way God made them to be in his image, body, soul, and spirit. There's a void there. There's something missing. And it's that connection to God that we have through his spirit. And when our spirit is alive, that's why he says in Ephesians chapter 2, and you would, I hate it when I do that. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit of the, now worketh in the children of obedience, disobedience. And then he jumps down to verse number 4, but God who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved. That whole idea of that void, that longing, is because we were created as a triune being, body, soul, and spirit. And part of us is missing. It's there. It's not that the spirit is dead. Again, please understand what I'm saying, that we have body, soul, and spirit. The spirit is there, but it's separated from God. And as long as that separation is there, there's going to be a void. There's going to be a longing because we are not the way God created us to be. And that's why God says, look, every person that is born has that void, has that longing, because they're not whole. They're not the way God intended them to be. And there is that longing, that void, that knowledge that there is a God, because God has put that in them. Something within man knows that there's a God. Whether they choose to worship him or not worship him, that doesn't matter. They know that there's a God. But because God has placed that inner revelation that there is a God, to deny the existence of God then. Because again, remember, we talked about this. Belief systems are not inherited. They are what? They're chosen. You choose what to believe, right? So then to deny the existence of God is a deliberate decision. It is a deliberate decision. When someone says, I choose to deny God's existence, they are making a deliberate decision against everything that is inside, crying out, saying, you are not whole. There is something missing. There is a void. There's something that you're looking for. And there is a God. They deliberately choose to deny God's existence and say, no, it's not God, it's something else. Which leads to all that they try to search for to fill that void. Which leads to drugs and alcohol and all kinds of things, trying to find that that fills that emptiness that is there. Again, no one is born an atheist. All around the world, doesn't matter where you go, people know that there is some kind of God. There is a God. There is a creator. Those who are either atheist or agnostic, at some point in their life, made a decision toward those beliefs. At some point, they decided to turn away from that inner revelation that God has revealed to them and say, no, I don't believe that. I'm going to believe that there's just no God. Or I'm just going to believe that, you know, God is, yes, God is there, but he doesn't really care, and so I'm just going to live my life the way I want to live it. What would cause someone to make the decision then to deny the existence of God? If God has placed it in man's heart that there's a God. Now again, I understand most people, again, we know these things because we study the Word of God, but most people do not know that they are created body, soul, and spirit, right? They don't understand we are created in the image of God. But why, if God has placed it in a person's heart and life that there is a God, what would cause someone to make the decision to deny the existence of God? Now, there's a very serious question here because there are people out there all over the world today that deny the existence of God. What causes that? What are some reasons? What would cause someone to deny the existence of God? Maybe you've talked to somebody who says, I don't believe in God, and here's why. Why? Bob? Yes. Yep. The loss of a loved one, someone that they hold dear, and they, you know, and again, they, before, even though they may not even be saved, they pray and they ask God to help them, they ask God to heal them, whatever, and when God doesn't, what do? They blame God, and they say, well, if that's how God is, I'm just going to deny that there's not a God, right? There just isn't a God. Somebody else? Terry? Mm-hmm. Right. Yep. There's a lack of understanding of the things of God and creation and how things came to be. Okay. Somebody else? What leads people to deny God? Scott?
Anger that they can't have life on their own terms.
Angry that they cannot have life on their own terms. I just can't do what I want to do. My life. So if I can't do it, if because it goes against God, then I'll just say there is no God. Deny God, right? Somebody else? Yeah.
I want to be the master of my own fate.
Yeah. Be the master of my own life, master of my own fate. I'm the one in charge. Yep. Dan? Dave?
Maybe there is a military. I've noticed a few guys who are the military.
Yeah.
When I see it over there.
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely. Emotional trauma and things of men that have been in the military to see things happen. And, you know, if there's a God, how could he let those things happen?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, very true, right? Yeah, I think all of those, we probably all of us have seen some point in life one of those things that we've seen. Because again, it is a choice, it's a deliberate choice to say, you know, something has happened, whether it's a horrible thing that they've witnessed or the death of a loved one or just I want to live my life the way I want to live it, or whatever it might be, there is a deliberate choice that is made. Whether that choice is intellectual, maybe they have unanswered questions about God. I don't understand how science works. My kids were, Levi's not been feeling good, and so he's been watching some science stuff on, what is that, Amazon or something like that? I don't know. But it's this guy, he's kind of crazy. He's called Coyote Peterson, and he'll go around and he'll even like, just to see what happens, right? He'll let like an ant or ants sting him. Like he had like, he did this thing with bees, and he like they coated his neck with bees, and he like let like 30,000 or something bees like get on his neck, you know. And well, then stupid, what do you think? They started stinging him. Duh, you know. And so he's like, "Oh, they're stinging me! Get them off!" I'm like, "Well, you're the dummy that didn't put a, you know, a head thing on, you know." I mean, so it was pretty funny because when it was all done, his face was all swollen. Like, "Oh, I can't even talk," you know. I mean, it's pretty funny. But we were watching one this afternoon. I was sitting on the couch with Levi, and it was talking about alligator gars and the guy was like, you know, 150 million years ago, right? And Levi's like, "What? 150 million years? He must believe in evolution." I was like, "Cool. Glad my son picked up on that, you know? I mean, here's an 11-year-old. He's like, this guy doesn't even know what he's talking about, 150 million years ago, right?" But my wife and I were sitting there, and he was talking about how the alligator gar, the different types of gars, you know, there's like three or four different types of gars, and how over these millions of years, you know, they've evolved, but yet there's still four types of gars. I'm thinking, all right, if been 150 million years and they're evolving, I don't think there'd be gars anymore. I think they'd all have kind of got out of being gars, right? And then he made this statement. You remember the statement that he made? What was the statement? It was like, "The design of these things is just amazing." I wanted to like slap him upside the head, you know? You just said 150 million years ago this thing came out of this blob, but then he's like, "The design of this is absolutely amazing." Duh. The design. Why? Because it was a creature that was designed by a designer, by God. You know, I mean, my wife said, "Does he not even understand what he's saying? He just said 150 million years ago, not 2 minutes before, and then he's like, the design of this animal is absolutely just amazing." Yeah, because he was designed by God, right? So whatever, yeah, sorry, somebody say something? Oh, so whatever it might be, you know, that people happen, you know, again, it could be that intellectual things, just unanswered questions about God, or just saying, you know, I can't understand God. I don't know how God could be out there while we're here, and so I'm just going to deny his existence, or emotional tragedies that happen in life. But again, they didn't start out with those beliefs. Those beliefs didn't start out that way because the knowledge of God is written on their hearts, right? So there's that knowledge that is inside, that that inner knowledge, but there's also a very, if you call it, a unique knowledge that God gives us, and that's what I would call intellect. Intellect, right? God has given mankind unique intellect. The ability to reason, to think, to learn. Again, the human brain is absolutely, it's a marvel. It is a scientific marvel, the human brain is. They still don't understand how it all works. Scientists, right? Don't understand how it all works, right? But we have the ability to think, to reason, to decide things for ourselves, and all of these actions require a volition. They require us to make a decision. And again, this is part of what it means to be in the image of God. Think about this. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. So notice, God is giving control, God is giving power, dominion, not to the animals, but to man, right? He's giving that to man. Let them, man, have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So from the very beginning, from creation, God has created man with the ability to decide, to lead, to organize. I mean, think about it. God creates all of these animals, right? We don't know how many animals there were, but all the ones that God created. Again, there's all kinds of, I don't know if there was one dog, right? A male and a female dog. And now you have this whole branch of dogs, right? But isn't it interesting? They're all still dogs, right? You can have a Siberian husky, or you can have a rat like my parents have, you know? They're not chihuahuas. What are they? Dachshunds, yeah. I'm not sure if that's a real dog or not, but... it's all, you know, you have, they're all there. They haven't changed, right? But yet God gives man, of all of the animals that he creates, he gives man the dominion over them. And then he tells man, right? God tells Adam, you have the responsibility to name them all. God didn't come up with all the names. God said, you're in charge, right? I'm giving you dominion here. You're going to be able to figure this out. Chapter 2, verse 19, and out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. God gives Adam this intellect. God gives man intellect, the ability to reason, to think, to work things out, to work problems out, man. I mean, how many of you are glad that, you know, they figured out, you know, it's been a long time since I've been in school. How many of you are glad that they figured out there was a thing called penicillin, right? I'm very thankful that they figured out how to make Tylenol. I don't know what's in it, but I'm thankful for it, right? Technology. I mean, this just wasn't just lying around. God said, oh, by the way, here's a cell phone. This is what it does. No, man had to reason. Man had to think. I still don't understand it. How I can get on here and talk to my parents halfway around the world in Africa blows my mind. And I can see them right here on the screen. I can see them. They're right there. And they can see me. And there's like no delay or whatever. It's a marvel. That's because of the man's intellect. God has given man that intellect, right? That is one of the things that makes man different than all of creation. Animals don't have that. Animals don't have that intellect. Rest of creation doesn't have that, because it's only man that is created in the image of God. But it's more than mere intelligence, right? The intellect that God has given mankind is unique from the rest of his creation. Not only that we have that intellect, but there's something else that is very unique about this intellect. Do you know what it is? What is so unique about man's intellect that is different from all other creation? I would really say there's two things. Okay, it gives us the ability to know God. That's true, right? Anybody else? Leslie? Okay, we can make choices. What comes with that, though? The responsibility of the choice, right? There comes that responsibility of the choice. It's not just a choice that can be made, right? I mean, let's face it, animals can make choices, right? I mean, you set a mouse trap, you put that peanut butter, you put that cheese. A mouse is going to make a choice. They're going to make a choice whether to eat it or not. If they eat it, guess what? Boom. Dead, right? But a mouse isn't going to be able to reason and figure out, okay, how did this happen? And I, I'm I know Tom and Jerry got it figured out on cartoons, but we're talking about real mice, okay? There's not that intellect, but even more beyond that is there is a morality attached to it. There is the knowledge of right and wrong, right? Animals don't have a knowledge of right and wrong, okay? Now, you can teach them not to do something, right? You can house train a dog or a cat or something like that. You can teach them to do something, but they don't have that intellect, that knowledge that of right and wrong. Where man has that because man is created in the image of God, and God has placed that in their life. There's that morality, that moral sense. We can reason things out. We can make valuable judgments about right and wrong. The intellect is also the means by which God has enabled us to accept or reject Him. God put Adam and Eve in the garden, and He said, of all the trees you can eat, but one. One tree you cannot eat of, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Of that tree, don't eat it. The day you eat it, thou shalt surely die. God is giving them, with their intellect, with the ability to reason, make choices, to lead, to name the animals, to control the garden at this point, and really the earth, because they're the only two people on it. With that also comes morality of right and wrong. It's interesting, what was it that Satan tempted Eve with? I know he tempted him with the fruit, but what did he say? He'd be God, but keep going. Knowing what? Good and evil. I'm going to make a statement here, and I hope that you'll bear with me when I make this statement. The devil tempted Eve, saying that you'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. The problem was, again, they didn't think about it, they didn't reason it out, but they already knew what was good and evil. Not in the sense that you and I know good and evil, because nothing evil had ever happened yet. So how did they know good and evil? They were told? Andy? Again, with that intellect, the reasoning, they may not have known evil. They may not have seen evil done, although very shortly they would have. But you don't have to see something to know that it exists. What Satan was saying was, you will know good and evil, not just about it, but you're going to know it personally. But Adam and Eve already knew good and evil. They knew that God was good, and everything that God did was good. And they knew to eat of the tree was disobedience to God, which is evil. But instead of, again, instead of using the intellect that God gave them, and again, we're not talking about just the inner revelation. I mean, they got to walk with God in the garden. They got to talk with Him. So they had a much greater revelation than you and I even had. I mean, that was personal. But instead of listening to God and following God, just like what we find today, people using different excuses say, well, I'm just not going to believe God. Eve chose to say, what I have is not enough. The knowledge that I have is not enough. I want something greater. And even though she knew it was wrong to eat of the tree, because God had told them it was wrong, God said, do not do this. And He even told them the consequences. The day that you eat of the tree, you'll die. she wasn't content. And she didn't use the intellect that God had given her to reason. Wait a minute, this is bad, and if I do this, this is going to happen. God, we are going to die. And instead of turning from it, she turned to it, and she ate it. Watch, Romans chapter 1, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things, verse 20, of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. So Paul is writing to people in his day, 4,000 years after creation, right? Paul's writing. He says, the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they're without excuse. So there's that inner revelation. There's an external revelation. We'll talk about that a little bit more next week. But notice what he says in verse 21. Because that when they knew God, and here's the thing, Eve knew God. Adam knew God. Every single person on the earth knows that there is a God. But when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Folks, that's exactly what happened to Eve. That's exactly what happened to her. Instead of recognizing that God is right and God is sovereign and God has told me not to do this and to do it is evil, I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. And that's what many do today, tragically. I know that there is a God. God has put that in there, and there's a void. There's an emptiness. Unfortunately, yes, I'm afraid so often religion pushes people away. And again, I believe that is absolutely exactly what the devil wants. He wants to use religion to push people away from Christ. Because to the world, religion is the answer. But it's not the answer. Religion has never been the answer. Christ is the answer. Christ is the answer. But religion helps to push people away from Christ, because in religion there is a talk of Christ. And so it pushes people away from Christ, which is exactly what the devil wants, right? They knew God. They glorified him not as God. So, no, I'm not going to recognize that is there. I'm going to deny that is there. I don't want to believe that there's a God. Whether it's an emotional thing that has happened or a tragic thing that has happened, I'm just going to say there can't be a God. And please, I'm not trying to be mean here, but it really is amazing to me that people that want to say there is no God want to blame God for everything. How does that work? You don't believe in God, but it's all God's fault. Why would they say that? Because they know there is a God. Even though they might say, well, I don't believe there's a God, but they're still going to try to blame God because they know there is a God. That inner revelation is there. That intellect is there. Morality is there. And what a devastating thing to know. To know God and yet reject him, reject his existence. But here's what's really amazing about this. We're able to do so. Men and women are able to reject God and reject his existence because God created us with the ability to choose. God creates us with the ability, the intellect, to choose, even knowing that many will choose to not believe. And yet God still creates us with that intellect. He still creates us with that ability to choose. Again, you can't explain man's sense of right and wrong, good and evil, without concluding that there is a being who is perfect, who's given us this knowledge, this just doesn't come by chance. I know evolution tries to say that, but you can't prove it. How is it that every society around the world has a sense of right and wrong? Again, it might be a little skewed based on the society, based on the culture, but every society has a sense of right and wrong. He says in Romans chapter 2, I'm going to have to stop here. I never get as far as I need to. In Romans chapter 2, in verse number 14 and 15, he says, "For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things that are contained in the law." What is that? What is he saying there? That's morality. They don't have the law, but yet they're doing what the law says, even though they don't have the law. Why? He tells us, "Having not the law are a law unto themselves, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law." What are those next words? "Written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another." And here's the problem. The problem for atheists is that if they admit the existence of evil, they must also admit the existence of good. If you admit the existence of good, then you also must admit the existence of God. That's why even the atheists are even trying to go back, they're trying to take a step back and even try to say there is no evil. You think I'm joking? Everybody ever heard of Richard Dawkins? Richard Dawkins, the British evolutionist? This is what Richard Dawkins says. Because again, this is it. Atheists, this problem is severe enough that they're actually trying to deny the reality of evil. This is what Richard Dawkins says. "The universe that we observe has precisely the proprieties that we should expect if there is, at bottom, no design, no purpose, no evil, no good, nothing but pitiless indifference." What in the world is that? This guy is supposed to be a scientist, and he says there is no design. A stupid dude named Coyote whatever, who's got a little TV show, even admits that there's a design. You cannot look at this animal without, look at the design of this. It's amazing. But because if you admit that there is evil, then you must also admit that there is good. And if you admit that there is good and evil, then you must admit that there is a God who has put that morality in every person, a morality of good and evil. So even in, this is what's so crazy. Even by admitting there's evil, you have to admit that there is a God. They know that. I should say, they know that. I'm pointing at the screen back there. They know that, right? They're trying to deny evil. There's no evil, there's no good, nothing but pitiless indifference. Okay, so again, if all there is pitiless indifference, what difference does it make for you to believe what you believe? If it's nothing but pitiless indifference, there is no design, there's no purpose, no evil, no good, it's just pitiless indifference. Then here's the question, and you can mull over this because we'll have to stop here. What is the purpose for life then? I mean, this is one of the top scientists, supposedly, on the evolutionary field. No design, no evil, no good. How can you say the universe that we observe has precisely the properties we should expect if there is no design? Can you not look at the universe? Can you not look at the solar system, the planets rotating around the sun, and see a design? So, again, next week we're going to get into this external revelation, how God has revealed himself. And it really goes, I mean, This guy has to go against everything he's ever stood for to say, to make that statement. To say that it's nothing but pitiless indifference. So what's the purpose? Why are we here? Not if you believe that. That's why you have society. Well, if there's no good and no evil, then it doesn't really matter what I do. So again, here's the thing. Who's deciding whether there's no evil and no good? Richard Dawkins. Richard Dawkins is the one deciding that there's no evil and no good. Well, what if I think that what he's saying is wrong? Who's right? Well, if he really believes what he says, I can't be wrong. Nor is he wrong. Which now we have a big problem. Because we both believe very differently. But if neither one is wrong, then who is right? As they say in Swahili, we have a big conundrum. We have a big conundrum. All right, we'll stop there, and we'll kind of take off from this. Well, no, it won't be next week because I won't be here next week. 2 weeks we'll take off from this on this external revelation and the purpose for living and things, because, again, that's, if you can't answer that question, or if you answer it the way he did, man, there is no purpose. And unfortunately, that's what a lot of people are following. That's why there's such an empty void, and they're trying to fill it with anything and everything they can find. But nothing satisfies. Well, if you listen to Richard Dawkins, it really doesn't matter because it's all indifferent anyway. There's no evil, no good, no right, no wrong, no design. It's pretty sad. But here's the thing. He's made a choice. And God has given him the moral intellect to make that choice. And God gives us the moral intellect to make a choice. To believe, and not just to believe, but to follow, to obey. And with those choices come consequences. I would not want to be in Richard Dawkins' shoes when he stands before God. Would not want to be there. But we have to understand that the same thing, as Christians, we have that moral intellect as well. We might believe, but do we obey? Do we follow? Because we are left with the same responsibility. We may not stand at the great white throne judgment, but we will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And we will have to give an account for what we have done and how we've lived. Amen? Let's pray.